Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back
to Kinda Funnies in Review,
MCU in Review. This is where it all began. Of course, this is the show where we rank, review, and recap every single Marvel Studios project. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes, and I'm joined by the Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
Great afternoon, everybody.
Great afternoon to you as well. We're also joined by the Big Daddy, Greg Miller.
Hello. I'm happy to be here, and I'm glad that I'm so close to Andy,
yeah,
but still far enough away from Andy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I can still do this.
Yeah.
Hard as I can. As hard as I want to, and I can't get him, you know?
You get a little closer to him. Fall in, though.
Look at you right there, too. You're fine.
I mean, you could hit me if you wanted to.
You routed out the group today. It is the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino,
it's
in
good
a fantastic looking bomber jacket,
thank
I must
you.
Say.
Thank you. You can get that on kindoffunny.com/store right now if you guys want it. Mm-hmm. And you too could look like one of the Biodome 4, like me and Tim, which
yeah.
is great.
Yeah, yeah. Me and Nick, the Biodome 4.
I appreciate you came for a whole marathon here. You got two zero sugar Cokes, a thing of beef jerky, and a nice coffee.
Well, you notice
how long are we talking about Gino?
Notice the beef jerky has been consumed.
Oh, nice.
And these, this is my main coffee. These are my what ifs. What if I need a soda?
What if?
Welcome to the studio, everybody. This is our first in review all together in many, many years. It's crazy how many Marvel Studios projects have happened since the last time we were in the studio. Mm-hmm. So many shows, so many special presentations, so many movies. Today we're going to be talking about She-Hulk. Remember, this is Kinda Funnies in review. Each and every week, we get together to rank, review, and recap different movie franchises. You can watch that on youtube.com/kindoffunny, or if you prefer podcasts, search your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny in Review, and we'll be right there for you. We've done pretty much every franchise under the sun, whether you love them, whether you hate them, we have reviewed them. So go check those out. If you want to support us, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like our Patreon producers, Molecule, Al Tribesman, and Fargo Brady have done. Because of that, they get the show ad-free. They get to watch live as it's recorded. And every single dollar this month in October goes towards filling out our thermometer that we started a couple weeks ago when we launched this thing. And that's still going. So until the end of October, we are still raising the funds, as the kids say, to do all the cool projects later this year and throughout 2023.
Having fun raising the funds, that's what they say, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you can't spell fundraise without fun,
fun.
Andy!
He's right
can't
here.
Spell without fund either.
Or raise. Remember Josh Groban?
You raise me
got that. Let me tell you, that beanstalk can sing. All right, that's a man. You have the six CD CD changer. You just need one, brother. Put it in there. Josh Groban's greatest hit.
Do you have
my six
save.
Copies?
Do you have that CD six times though?
Yeah.
You raise me up. Got the echo, the reverb.
Really good reverb.
You have a voice.
I got pipes, big.
You
dog.
Do. You
I
know?
Got some pipes.
What can't you do?
I'll pipe
you can
you
run
down.
Real fast. Sing real good. Ass real good. You know what I mean?
Ass real good.
What does that mean? Do you rub it on something or is it?
Kevin, you're retired for a reason. You stay out of this.
No. Wrong note.
See, what I love about this is for years I've had to listen to you guys try to harmonize over Discord and it just has not worked.
Yeah,
so this time, it's like, at least you guys had the timing right, but somehow it still just sounded atrocious. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's always something new, Nick, right?
It is always something new, Tim. Just like this week's episode, of She-Hulk.
Thank you. Today, we're talking about She-Hulk. We're brought to you by Shopify and Raycon, but I'll tell you about those later. Let's get into it. She-Hulk, we're a little late on this. Normally, we like to review things right as they happen, but of course, we launched the studio. So, we're doing this right now. She-Hulk, it was released between August 18, 2022, ran for 9 episodes. Until October 13th. The runtime was about 30 minutes an episode. They actually stuck to the TV format for this one. Different move for Marvel that I imagine we'll get some more of in upcoming shows. It was show ran by Jessica Gao, an American television writer and producer who was creator and head writer of the TV series She-Hulk. She also worked on the third season of Rick and Morty. She wrote the episode Pickle Rick. Which I haven't
seen. Oh,
people
love that one.
But people love
great
it.
Great episode.
Yeah?
Everybody loves to make fun of it. Like, stupid people like that. Nah, it's a really, really fucking funny episode. Also, how would Owen Wilson say her last name?
Gow.
Yeah, it's true. It is true.
While we have this break in the action, Andy, did you find it weird at all when Tim was like, they stuck to 30 minutes of TV for it, which I expect you might see with it? Like, he's fucking, like, he's talking to Kevin Feige. Like, Kevin Feige was, like, talking to him behind the scenes, like, yo, this next show about Squirrel Girl and the Falcon, we're gonna make 30 minutes. I was like, you should know that.
You don't know what I know, Greg.
I don't know what you know.
You don't know what I know.
It's a great point.
She also wrote for Silicon Valley, Robot Chicken, and other shows like that, which makes a lot of sense when you watch the show.
Robot Chicken, another great show. We don't talk about enough here.
Mm. Yeah. I love Robot Chicken.
You don't like it, Andy?
It's simple humor. Every time I watch Robot Chicken, I'm like, I could do this.
Andy, you're incredibly talented. You can do a lot of things.
I think you're funny.
But I'm just tired.
You just can't.
The music was by Amy Doherty, an Irish composer and orchestrator for film and television. She was the first woman to score an animated feature for DreamWorks with Spirit Untamed. Never heard of it, but it came out last year.
Sounds like a Miyazaki movie, like a Ghibli movie.
Sure, sure. You guys should do Ghibli interview.
We should. That's all I got for
there
you
was
for
about
the
80 of those Ghibli movies, man. We
there were so many. That was one of
the
longest.
That flew a plane.
Dude, that is the one. That was
Porco
like,
Rosso.
I was like, what the fuck are we doing? What is this movie?
Wait, what was the other one with the plane? That was the one where I was like, there's a lot of these movies. They're fantastic, but there's a lot of them. Anyways, I want to start with a little fact here for you guys about She-Hulk. She-Hulk was created in 1980 by writer Stan Lee and artist John Buscema. She-Hulk was one of the last characters that Stan Lee ever created. The reason that they created She-Hulk was essentially because of the television show The Bionic Woman. In the late 1970s and early 80s, The Incredible Hulk TV show was a big success right after a successful run from The $6 Million Man, and both shows were made by the same producers at Universal. Those producers and the studio had created a female-led spinoff of The $6 Million Man called The Bionic Woman. Afraid that Universal might try the same stunt for a Hulk spinoff, Marvel wanted to stake their claim first, mostly because if Universal made the spinoff, they would share ownership rights, if not own the character altogether for She-Hulk. So they joke about that a little bit in this, like the whole Titania, taking the rights to She-Hulk or whatever. Mm. But it's just interesting that like these the arms race of the Marvel rights go so far back, and like the Universal thing is still plaguing Hulk to this day.
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
To this
they
call
it, but also plague. The terrible movie, you know, worse than Thor.
Nick Scarpino.
Yes.
What do you think of She-Hulk overall?
Overall, I really liked the show. And I'm very excited for a second season. By the end of it, it was legitimately a show I look forward to. And unfortunately, because we launched studio last week, did not get to watch last week's episode. I don't think nor the week prior to that because I wasn't on it. Which was a delight. It's one of those things where you fire it up, you go, I got two.
Oh, yeah.
How did I not know I have two right
what
now?
A
I
gift.
Think I have 14 episodes of Game of Thrones, House of Dragon, and that's going to be fun, too. I really like it. Like I said before, the humor hits on all cylinders for me. This is a departure from most normal shows. They even say so in it, right? Even as we get to the last episode where she's like, we're going to do it our way. Everything's formulaic, and they're making fun of the tried and true formula that we love for the Marvel shows and the Marvel movies. But this one's a little different spin on it, and I just thoroughly enjoyed it, man. It was super fun.
Greg Miller.
Yeah, you know, they stuck the landing, which is always our concern with these MCU shows, right? I think we went through the entirety of it and had a great time. It, to Nick's point, was always that treat for me. I didn't wake up the same way I woke up for Loki or for WandaVision, where I was like, oh, shit, I can't wait to see what's going to happen next kind of thing. I just was always like, oh, yeah, She-Hulk. All right, that'll be fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
That'll be fun. And I think, you know, again, which the show makes fun of course, you know, where we are with MCU fandom and we want everything to have these bigger repercussions and we want to know what's going to tie in where are the X-Men. I loved that this show was purposefully not that. it was that we are a 30-minute comedy, courtroom comedy, whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? I was just like, this is going to happen here. And, yeah, like, I'm sure we'll get back to the Hulk having a son. I'm sure we'll get back to some Daredevil and all these other things that are being introduced. Did I do that? Yeah. Did I do that? Well, I kicked out this TV.
Oh, we knocked it out. Okay.
I'll fix it while Andy talks in a second. All that said, like, it delivered on just being a fun show. It didn't need to push it. It didn't need to push forward the MCU. It could make fun of the MCU. And it really is setting that, hey, these don't all need to tie into everything. These don't all need to be a bigger... They can just happen in the universe, and we can have fun with that universe in a way nothing else has.
Andy Cortez.
You fixed it. It's fine.
I was a big fan of the show. I think I'm getting into kind of an odd territory with how many things there are on this list, especially when we're getting into genres like She-Hulk, because it feels like apples and oranges. Like, I love Dumb and Dumber, one of my favorite comedies of all time. I love The Departed. Two different genres, two different sort of...
You have to rank them, Andy.
Two different environments, you know what I mean? So it is kind of odd to have She-Hulk on this list against all of these other grandiose, epic, popcorn Hollywood blockbuster films. But I still had a lot of fun with it. I thought it was just consistently funny as hell. I think the weaker episodes were still very entertaining. And I love this most recent twist in episode 9, the final episode. I thought it just did a really neat job with sort of twisting everything around. And the creators and showrunners just had a lot of fun making this. You could tell.
It's
and
one of those two that
they
like,
had like a playground to work
and
with.
And they had a vision and they stuck to it, right? I think that's one of the things we talked about and maybe dinged Ms. Marvel for, or Miss Marvel, right? Of like, it started off so strong with the graphics and the writing behind her and this, that, and the other. And then they kind of faded away for a while. And it would come back at certain points, it'd pepper it in, but it wasn't as strong as that first episode or even the second one. Whereas this one, I felt like, it felt like I was watching a consistent vision throughout, and they didn't deviate, right? Like, when, I know it's weird right now because we're reviewing the whole thing, but we're going to talk about episodes, but we didn't talk about the finale yet. But in the finale, right, when, like, Abomination walked in with the incels, I was like, oh, really? We're going to make him the bat? And then it was like, oh, okay. Smart way to get out of this.
Did you get your hand raised?
Yeah, I was just going to say, guys, you know, I very seldom bring this next term up, but I'd like to talk about The Heat. And I don't mean...
I'm not familiar with this movie. Who's in it?
Oh, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the heat between She-Hulk and Daredevil. Oh. I was not expecting that. That was fantastic. Charlie Cox and Tatiana, they had great chemistry. Let's have that show. That's the show I want to watch for season two. Bring them all back.
So sexy.
So
all
sexy.
Of it.
I like how she called them a ketchup and mustard packet. That was great. That was funny. I was like, good dick. That's what my wife says to me right before we make out.
Jesus, are you wearing red and yellow?
I do a lot, yeah.
Oh, okay. No, he doesn't.
I'm not familiar with that. I don't know that outfit. I know most of our outfits, but I don't know that one. Tim, what did you think?
I utterly loved this show. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody that knows me, especially you guys. Like, I love the MCU. I love Marvel Studios. I love the lore. I love the nerdy stuff, the Easter eggs, the different takes on things and genres and big swings that they often take. And, you know, I feel like we're so far into this with so many different projects, movies, special presentations, TV shows, that I feel that it's at a point that we're running out of things to even try because almost everything's done. So, like, the Marvel formula can mean 15 different things.
Yeah.
And I like that we're still kind of iterating and, like, getting a show like this felt like a breath of fresh air for so many reasons. But you guys have said this, but they had a vision, and I think they really committed to it, and it worked. Like, this was a TV show. It was a 30-minute comedy, and they really did justice to the She-Hulk character. Like, for people that have read She-Hulk comics, admittedly, I haven't read too many of them, but I've seen her in a lot of, like, team-ups and things like that. And nailing the Jen Walters side of it, the She-Hulk side of it, the lawyer versus superhero, like, all of that, I thought they did a great job making a show from it and breaking the fourth wall when appropriate, using that sprinkled throughout to have the last episode work as well as it did.
Yeah.
The Kevin Feige cameo was incredible and like done in a way that I wouldn't have even thought that I wanted. Like I would expect, right. I want Kevin Feige. I want him to be there. That's so cool. And I would have predicted that to happen. I would not have predicted it, Kevin, to be an AI robot that's
hilarious.
Making Marvel work. But that's so smart. And it shows they know their audience. They know their product. And, like, major shout-outs to Jessica Gao for nailing it, for getting it, and for having these toys. And thank you. And playing with them in a way that feels very respectful to the source material and to take advantage of this opportunity that Disney Plus has right now of these shows being able to be what they whatever they want to be. And I'm very excited that we're getting past that initial Disney Plus lineup of things where it was pandemic shooting and there was like restrictions of people working around things. And like, yeah, there's still a lot of VFX issues and all of that. And that's never going to change, I don't think, unfortunately. But I think overall the show succeeded at what it was trying to do. Thinking about it in terms of like what Andy's saying of like, where does it rank? I don't know. Like I've been trying to think about it and like, I can't wait till the end of the episode when we really start getting there. But in terms of ranking it against the other shows, it's clearly in the upper echelon
top
of them.
Tier.
But I feel like in my mind, Loki and WandaVision stand apart so far where,
sure.
WandaVision is so special for that, that I can't wait for the next episode. Oh my God, I can't believe they're doing this and all of that. But with the finale and the Ralph Boner stuff, it taints my memory of that show.
100%.
And like, just how I feel about it quality wise, even though it was utterly fantastic and everything I could have wanted besides that. Then you get to Loki and I just love how it ended. And I loved the journey, but like how that show ended, I don't know will ever be topped on a MCU show. This show is somewhere in there, and I don't know exactly where, because while it nailed being a comedy, and it to me, I think, like people keep saying that there's not that much MCU ramifications. Like, there are so many. The Sokovia Accord stuff, like getting the X-Men teases and things, Hulk's son Scar, like all of this setup. Like, we got Daredevil. Like, all of that stuff I thought was handled so gracefully, and is going to have so many ramifications for different projects going forward that I can't wait to see how they actually play into it all. But I think that while the comedy worked a lot, I think when I compare this to other comedy shows, it was just pretty good. It wasn't like, oh my God, this show is hilarious. This is one of the best comedies. So while it nailed being a comedy, I think it was a great MCU comedy. I don't think it was the best comedy I've seen. And 100%. So because of that, I feel like it is a little lower in my mind quality-wise. But having said that, it's like I would love a season two. I hope that they do that. I hope that we get a lot more.
Yeah, when I don't think of it so much as a comedy, right? I think of it more as just a very, very, really, obviously it's comedic, but it was just, for me, it was always just very entertaining. There was a couple wonderful moments of like light chuckles, a couple laugh out loud things, but like when she looked at the camera, she's like, where are the X-Men? Like tongue in cheek and winked at the camera. I was like, that's funny, right? It's very entertaining. And at the end of the day, the whole show is fun. From start to finish, it's actually something that I would watch again before the next season comes out. And that speaks volumes to it because I liked Loki. I liked WandaVision. I don't really want to go back and visit those things. This is a show I'm like, let's keep making these because it's so creative and so fun that you can really sandwich in whatever you want into this stuff and have it work. For Christ's sake, they made Kevin Feige an AI robot like from WALL-E, and it was hilarious. And I was like, I was not expecting that, but it worked out well.
Yeah. No Madison, though.
I just want to make sure you saw that.
Oh yeah, no, he was in the studio view. I don't think cool.
Yeah, that's right.
Our confidence monitors.
Should be good
in
the
just being safe. Just being
safe. Thanks.
Sorry. Continue, Andy.
Plot.
Go for it. Plot it up.
Plot.
Everybody, plot.
Welcome to She-Hulk, everybody.
God, it's weird how much I've missed that.
I was really hoping Kevin.
I was waiting for the smoke.
But I was hoping Kevin was going to do it like just a little too late.
Welcome to She-Hulk, everybody.
There we are.
Welcome to the pod of She-Hulk. If you've never joined us for an MCU TV show before, we go through episode by episode with some notes. So we'll start with the first episode, A Normal Amount of Rage. What is it, Tim? It's another good... let's start at the end, and then we'll get back to it. You know what I mean? We start at the end. Jennifer Walters about to go in, present her case, right? She's about to go in there, rock some socks, be an impressive assistant DA, maybe make her way up the ladder. But then, guess what? We find out she's already She-Hulk. She breaks the fourth wall and starts talking to us, and we're like,
what?
And then we rewind time to find out, of course, what we already knew, but she's cousins with the one and only Bruce Banner, the Hulk, right there. He's got a little metal spider on his arm, and that keeps him from getting all hulky, right? And so they go out, they're tootling around, they're going to a family reunion, or driving a car, or getting some barbecue, nobody fucking cares.
Yeah.
And they're like, doo-doo-boo, doo-doo-doo, they're singing, they're having a great time, right? And then what happens? Big old hand in the road, and they try to swerve around it. They flip the fucking car.
A big hand?
Yeah, I don't remember why they swerved the fucking car.
It was the shit from Sakaar.
Yeah, all right, close enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I watched Adam's Family. And let me tell you.
I imagine the hands from Elden Ring, the ones that crawl out here.
Kev, can I get the me and Nick cam? Nick,
they
here's my problem.
They don't
right?
fucking understand.
No, here's my problem.
It.
You and I get
they'll
it, right?
They'll never get it.
You're married.
Yeah.
Your wife says something that's patently false.
Yeah.
And you give her the correct shot, and then she's like, no, I'm pretty sure it's this way. And you're like, meh. And then you're like, all right, we're just going to double down on this lie. Mm-hmm. Where she was trying to tell me Adam's family, where they go to the camp, came before Adam's family. And I was like, that doesn't make sense. Because, of course, remember, we start with Fester, mm-hmm. not with the family. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, well, that's going to happen this movie with the what? I'm like, oof, no, I'm just going to leave you alone.
Would you believe that in my household, the roles are reversed? I'm usually the one saying something that's completely wrong.
Yeah. Cool. I digress. Back to this. All right, fine. It's not a fucking hand, all right? It's a goddamn spaceship. Anyways, they get in a car accident.
Are we back recording? We're back? Okay.
Her blood, or his blood gets in her blood, and they're like, man, we got dual blood. And so she starts hulking out, right? And then she becomes Hulk, and she runs around. And then, like, you know, she runs to a bar, and, like, she's mean to some people. And she's, like, going to smash somebody, but the Hulk grabs her. And then they wake up in, like, Mexico, right? And the Hulk's got her in Mexico. And he's like, listen, you got my blood in you here when we're in Mexico. And, like, mm-hmm. here we are mm-hmm. We're in this Mexico place. And we've got this little shack, a little island shit, and they got the tiki drinks. And Tony Stark made it with me, and this is where I've been chilling out and where I hit out and stuff like that. And I got a whole lab down here, so let's work on you being the Hulk. She's like, I got to get back to being a lawyer. I'm a lawyer, Bruce.
I'm a
legal eagle.
Legal eagle, they call her. And so he's like, you know what? Can't let you do that. Sorry, let's test you. And he puts her in the thing. We got to find all your triggers. You know, I go back to Hulk when I sleep, or to Bruce when I sleep, and yeah, blah, blah, blah. And so then they try to crush her, and she becomes a Hulk. And guess what? She can talk. She's not crazy Hulk. You know what I mean? He's like, how can you manage your rage like this? And she's like, well, of course, I'm a woman. I have to manage my rage all the time because you men are stupid. And we're like, that's good. That's good right there.
Yeah, true.
Stop me real quick on this episode. Please do. I said this, I think, earlier when we first watched it, but the Jessica Gao was saying that this episode was actually supposed to be, or at least most parts of this episode, was like episode 8. And they ended up moving it earlier to like give the origin story. But it was going to be more of like a flashback where they just were going to drop us into her being life. A lawyer and like her being She-Hulk and then explain how she got her powers.
I like this better.
Yeah, me too.
I like this
totally.
Better.
But it's interesting to see like this episode does feel different than the other ones. Like and I think it's because that her and Hulk have action scenes and things, and there's not many action scenes in the rest of the episodes, but this one feels less comedy than
Well, you kind of get to it, right, where every other episode from here, not every episode, most episodes from here, right, are going to be around a case. There's going to be something going on.
Big thunderclap.
Yeah, they fight, cool. Right, and then the internet got super mad because the Hulk didn't immediately beat her, totally, of course, negating the fact that the Hulk loves her, why would he fight her, and he's just trying to stop her casually, but nobody wants to.
Yeah, the internet has a point.
Critical thinking.
Just gonna take their
You're side. One of these incels. You're intelligentsia. She decides she's going to leave. Bruce is like, whatever. And so she goes, and she's going to go be a lawyer. And she's going to be a lawyer, and she's going to hide her powers, and that's great. So she's in court, and she's like, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to object. I'm going to do this, and you should, you know, do this, Judge Steve Harvey. And before Judge Steve Harvey can say anything, boom, Titania breaks through the wall, right? And she's like, I'm Titania. And everybody's like, I don't know who the fuck this person is. And
then, this is happening.
Yeah. And so then Jen's friend, what's her name? The one you love?
Oh, damn it. Nikki.
Did you ever watch The Good Place?
No, I've seen a lot of it on TikTok and clips here and there.
I feel like you'd love it.
You want the spoilers for the end of it? They're in the bad place. I know everything, man. Come on. You
know I know everything.
Here's the other thing I'll tell you right now. Here's the other thing I'll say right now.
That's revealed pretty early on.
Modern Family, what a fucking show.
Thank you.
I've never watched an episode, but I see it on TikTok all the time. And I'll be, it's like part 2 of 5, and I'll watch it. And I'm like, Modern Family, put it on the board. That's a nice show. I don't have the time to go watch it.
What's on the board?
But Ed O'Neill is just delivering a hell of a performance.
Oh, yeah.
I like that Kevin's communicating now through the smoke machine. Yeah. Kevin, are you here?
Kevin agrees.
He's haunting the place. He's stuck in the pocket dimension.
Anyways, so then she's like, well, fuck, I got it. Nikki's like, you got to do it. She's like, I don't want to do it. You got to do it. She's like, I'll do it. So she turns into Hulk. Punches Titania, saves the jury, right, because they're, like, throwing the big desk at him or whatever. And then she shrinks back to normal Jennifer Walters, and she's like, I'd like to present my closing audio. And then it's like...
What?
I said, put it on the wall. Oh. Kevin did what I asked. That's a good man. Kevin hit the smoke. This smoke's for Kevin, everybody. Round of applause.
Put it on the board.
And so then...
I don't want to just fast forward and Greg just trying to say something while saying nothing for at least 5 seconds.
Welcome back to interview.
I don't know what was trying to get out
what
there.
What did I get wrong? What did I do wrong?
It was just like, I thought you were gargling.
There's a post-credits here. This is the post-credits where, of course, we find out that Captain America isn't a virgin.
So good.
He had sex with Star-Lord's grandmother, and then Star-Lord's mother then is his daughter. And then Star-Lord
shit runs deep.
This is the whole thing James Gunn confirmed on Twitter, even though, he was like, I got no authority to do this, but I'm confirming. Awesome. So there you go, Kevin Feige. Stick it up your ass.
He's wow. Getting that quill wet.
Stick it up your ass.
Oh,
Jesus.
Jesus Christ,
wow,
Andy.
His Peter.
God.
Up next, ladies and gentlemen, is episode 2, Superhuman Law. People know She-Hulk now, and they're like, wow, that's crazy. There's another Hulk, and she's a She-Hulk, and she's Jennifer Walters. That's rad. And people are like, yeah. But then the case she won in the last episode, it turns out she won the case last episode. The verdict is overturned, right, because the jury was sympathetic to her because, of course, she saved her life. And this is like, well, I'm glad you saved people's lives, but you're fired. You're no longer allowed to be, you're not going to be an assistant DA or whatever. And she's like, oh, shucks, that sucks. And so that happens. And then she goes to the bar and drinks there. What do they call it? Legal briefs? Is that what it's called? What's it called? It's got a fun little lawyer
name.
Yeah,
it did.
That's cute. I like that.
Something like that. Chad, I'm looking at you. I'm looking
over
here.
The bar is what they should call it.
I want to see the Hagglers.
I think you're thinking the flight deck from Top Gun Maverick.
Definitely not. Legalese says Infinite Corpse.
Never forget.
Kevin, hit the smoke for Infinite Corpse.
God. Where did Hulk drink when that ship picked him up?
Infinite Corpse!
Say that again?
Where did Hulk drink when the ship picked him up?
What did he drink?
Where did he drink? Where?
I don't know.
Just a car bar.
Yeah. That's a rhyme for you, everybody. Didn't have to rhyme, but it did.
So, she's fired. She's no longer...
Sorry, the smoke's not turning off. I'm not scared just yet, but that was quick fire. It shouldn't have gone that long.
There it is. We're going to take a break. That's a wrap on the smoke for the rest of the episode. How about that, Infinite Corpse? Thanks for nothing. Anyways, fired. She's sad. She's dejected. And then the guy who runs the law firm that was the opposing counsel last time, he shows up and he's like, listen, you're great and you got a job. And because she doesn't get any other jobs to him because she's the Hulk, right? Mm-hmm. It's a big deal.
Right.
He's like, you got a job with us now. They have a funny name. GLKNH. Gulk.
It's a bunch of names. It's the names of like creators of She-Hulk and like iconic.
Goodman, Lieber, Kurtzberg, and Holloway.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. She accepts as long as they'll bring over Nikki as the paralegal. They're like, that's a weird request, but okay. She shows up all excited to work her first day, and they're like, too bad. Toots, do the thing. Turn into She-Hulk. You're a superhuman law. You're the face of the superhuman law division. She's like, oh, shit.
We're not saying Toots anymore, right?
Well, I think...
Are you saying, like, we should say it more, or you're saying,
I feel like it's dying out, and we should say Toots
yeah.
more.
Well, first
but
off,
I do feel
I
like
call
it's
Jen
kind of
Toots
like,
all the time, and it's,
oh,
it's
really?
A term
okay.
of endearment.
Hey,
exactly.
I call Greg Toots all the time, too.
So I thought you were trying to say, that's we canceled. Should stop saying Toots.
Oh, yeah. No.
Like in Kurt, I'm like, in you know, then if you were at a Denny's, you're like, yeah, hey, Toots, for the coffee. Yeah, that'd be a problem, but I kind of...
Yeah, that'd be bad.
Hey, Toots, can I get a coffee? But it wasn't until I said, we're not saying Toots anymore, that I went... Is it because it's bad? And
well,
I
yeah,
think
I mean,
it's kind of like catcalling, right?
Yeah,
it was like
demeaning. Yeah, it's demeaning to a woman.
It
right,
does.
Right, right. But again, like not when I use it in a sweet sense, and I call my wife Toots, and she calls me Toots. It's fine, or she calls me Tootsie. It's cute. Anyways, you know, here's another thing. While we're just here, if we're just gonna air it all, if we're gonna put it all on the table,
let's lean back,
Nick.
Yeah,
I've never seen Tootsie with Dustin Hoffman. I don't think I'm gonna get around to it.
It's a strange one. I don't think you need to watch it.
You ever do that? Andy, I'm nearly 40 years in, and I've never bothered. Have I seen Kramer versus Kramer? Yes, I have.
Have you seen Mrs. Doubtfire?
Yes.
You've seen Tootsie. You're fine.
Okay, great. Okay,
same movie.
That's good.
Same
that's good.
Movie.
That's
same
good.
Kids, actually, too.
And I think also, if just for the... Kevin, I'm going to need you to put this on the wall. Remember, I saw Dustin Hoffman at a hotel restaurant
remember.
For breakfast. All right?
Remember, everybody.
So you might all be out there looking down on me, saying, oh, he hasn't seen Tootsie. Well, you never saw Dustin Hoffman. And he
in a
smiled
hotel
at
bar.
Me. It was a restaurant. I was trying to say breakfast, but I got caught up. Oh. It was during Judges Week, probably 2019.
Was Woody
Shutters on the beach?
Was he fucking freelancing for IGN or what? Was he doing?
Like, I work for Andrew Goldfarb.
He just got done with the Bandai Namco appointment. He's playing.
Hilarious.
Anyway, where were we?
We were finishing episode one.
She's we're on episode two now. Remember, we're already there.
Yes.
So she's
you're right.
there
yeah.
now, and she's
real quick.
Do this.
I want to say one thing that I didn't love is I'm such a stickler for like shows and movies sticking to their rules and the worlds that they build, and I love that she breaks the fourth wall, but I didn't like the characters around her did. As well, like when Hulk looked at the camera, and like there's the shot in this episode where she's like walking through the GLKNH, and she like walks by one of the rooms. They're like money, 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 like all that stuff. It's like it feels weird where it's like this is supposed to be the real Marvel Studios world, and it feels like too many characters are like in like the joke break
but
the fourth wall way.
I didn't know Hulk was breaking the fourth wall.
I don't think in my interpretation of the scene you're talking about, where she turns to talk to us, and then Hulk turns to. My interpretation of that was she's breaking the fourth wall out loud, and he turned to be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't see that he was breaking it to us.
I've just seen people think it differently. I'm with you, actually, on that one. Okay. But just more like the money scene to me. I was just like, this is weird.
I don't remember the money
scene. Yeah, me either.
I can't stop thinking about it, everybody.
you want to have that in the conference room here one day, yeah. Where you walk by and Andy's and then money. Overall, for a complaint, in air quotes, which isn't for the show, because again, I read enough She-Hulk comics here and there growing up that I was like, oh, okay, I get it. I wish that we could have had, in the beginning, some kind of explanation from her. And I'm not even smart enough to write it, but like, was this a benefit of her powers that she did that? She knew it. I would have loved to. Don't worry, I'm not like Deadpool. I'm just, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how you do it or craft it to make it make sense so it's not jarring, because it isn't jarring overall. Once the show gets going and we know what the show is, okay, yeah. Cool. But it was a weird one of like, oh, okay. But are you Deadpool, but you're not Deadpool? Okay, anyways, you work here now. Be She-Hulk all the time. You look bad in your clothes because you're She-Hulk, and these were little Jen clothes. And now, your first case on the Superhuman Law Division is going to be defending Emil Blonsky. He's up for parole. He's going to do this. Well, I can't do that, of course. You know, he tried to kill my cousin Bruce. And they're like, well, you should probably talk to him. And yeah, exactly. Of course,
right. It's really, really cool to, like, now that the show is done, we've seen it all, to see how they used all the legacy characters to just the utmost effect. Like, Blonsky was awesome in this show. And it felt, like, really cool to see a character we haven't seen for so long come back and, like, kind of get, like, a totally new storyline that, like, adds up and makes sense. And they kind of paid it off. I love that he came back multiple times and that this episode was just kind of his setup. And then we'll get to Daredevil later too, but like they just completely nailed that. They're like, okay, we can use him. What should we do with him? Let's do it all.
Yeah. So she finds that out. She calls Bruce. This is where we get the funny joke of Bruce being like, that was so long ago in Harlem. You know, I'm a completely different person, literally. And she looks at us, ha. Of course, making reference to Edward Norton.
It's great.
Rest in peace. And then she's like, you know, she gets
still
Bruce.
Alive,
no. Really? And he passed on these MCU movies. What's he doing these days?
I think he got into a fight with Josh Whedon.
McCougar.
Whedon. Josh Whedon.
Josh. So much good.
Joshua Whedon.
Keeps on giving.
So she agrees to take the grace. And they're like, great, turn on the TV. Here's footage of him fighting in an underground fight ring. He's fighting some guy who can make donuts in the air. Oh, my God. What the hell? And that's the end of that one. Then there was an after credits here, too. I forget which one this one was. It wasn't as good as Captain America having sex.
Oh, it was just, wasn't it her at her parents' house and, like, helping them move some shit?
Oh, right.
Right. Yeah. Water jugs. Yeah. Of course, we know this, too. Of course, remember, this is because we went to her parents' house when she lost her job and was down on her luck, right? Mm-hmm. And, of course, her dad, the other guy, not Balky, from Perfect Strangers.
Oh, my God. Larry?
That's right.
Wow. Yeah.
Fucking
shit,
guys,
you're not wrong. That's incredible.
Nailed it, everybody. So yeah, now
you're
we're
talking like it's somebody you went to fucking high school with.
God, Larry?
Larry from math? What's he doing?
They don't fucking get it, dude.
You don't understand, all right? In like 1989, we only had three or four channels that had decent programming. So you felt like you knew Larry and Balky.
Got it.
Larry? Are you kidding me?
Come on. Do you remember Perfect Strangers? He had a goat at one point. Episode number three is called The People Versus Emil Blonsky, right? She goes to talk to Emil, who's totally chill now. He's totally a better person. Namaste and all that shit, right? And he just wants to be released so he can go home to his many wives that he has had, and he's like made a cult basically, but he wants to go do this thing, and she tests it and is okay. Well, you know, could anybody corroborate that you were being forced out of here or whatever?
Corroborate.
Yeah, it's a big legal word, legalese.
Legal stuff's cool, man.
It is.
You know? Like, seeing them in the courtrooms, they're just going back and forth. I'm like, I need to watch more actual legal stuff.
But it was never cooler until her and Matt Murdock were doing it.
Very cool.
Like, when he was popping off and just, like, really showing off, and she was like, who the fuck's this asshole? Like, that, in my opinion, was the pinnacle of all the law stuff. Because the rest of it was mostly played for, you know, hey, I'm a silly fucking guy who messed up, and you have to defend me. And I just don't feel like there was a whole... It was mostly played for comedy. I really enjoyed the serious aspect they kind of... The serious angle they took there with Matt Murdock.
We've covered it before on this show, all right? But I'd be a great waiter. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I could fucking clean up on tips at Buffalo Wild Wings. At Buffalo Wild Wings, if you're watching...
Waiter, yeah.
If you're watching, the offer still stands. I would be such a great lawyer. Mm-hmm. Not current Greg, who's got a couple screws loose and just giggles and laughs all the time, that would be a big problem.
The jury would really love it if you just randomly started cackling during your opening
remarks. Here's the thing about the American justice system, all right? All you need is reasonable doubt.
What do you know about worldwide justice system?
Well, I don't know. I know in England they wear wigs, right? We've talked about that before. Here, though, I'm saying, like, reasonable doubt, Andy. The amount of times I would get up there, like, I would, you know, it's kind of like, when I was a reporter, I'd often open with just one sentence or two sentences as my lead or whatever, and it would hook you, get you in there. This one would be the same thing of just like being up there like, look, ladies and gentlemen, I know it looks bad for my client, Nick Scarpino, all right? But nobody has a positive eyewitness. There's some shaky camera footage. Does he not look like every other white guy you've ever seen? You know what I mean? What do we really have right now to convict on him? And this is my thing. I'm not saying he's a good guy, ladies and gentlemen, the jury. Lord knows he's not.
He's a dirtbag.
Lord knows he's not, right? Yeah, you've seen witness after witness today come in and tell you
many
horrifying
eyewitnesses.
Stories. But what I'm saying is, beyond a reasonable doubt, ladies and gentlemen, beyond a reasonable doubt, have they shown you, the prosecution, beyond a reasonable doubt, that this man cut off a hand and left it in the middle of the road and that's what caused the car accident? Thank you.
It's a callback,
and
everybody.
And they'd be like, you know what? Shit, fuck. As long as I get one person on that jury, I think. I'm not really sure. As long as I get one person to be like, you know what? That's it. Done.
Is that how it works, Nick?
Yeah, I just keep thinking about that quote from old school where he's like, at no point during your incessant rambling did you come to your class. We're all dumber
off,
for having listened to
first
you.
First off, that's a huge mistake on your part. It was Billy Madison. We're back in the studio. Our game needs to be elevated, all right? Shout out to Cameron Kennedy, who saw my whole thing where I went from being below people to above people. That's acting. And if you're watching and you're like, how did this guy get into Ghostbusters video game? That's how, Andy.
Good use
actor.
Of physical space.
I now realize, Tim, that when Greg was referencing that was a hand. I didn't know he meant it was like
a physical hand.
I didn't know he meant like a normal human hand, because like it was obviously a big ship.
It must have been a big hand.
So like I just thought it was like a big monster hand creature.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, he was thinking Cousin It, which is a normal size hand.
Exactly. I'm glad that we are all on the same page of not being on the same page with Greg.
Gotcha.
Back to you, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, Emil Blonsky, I can't tell you who, you know, supreme sorcerer of the mystic arts, Wong. And she's
Wong,
like, okay.
See you.
Yeah, and so she's like, all right, cool, I'll get Wong on the phone, get him in here and do the thing or whatever, and then, you know, get the Wong going. And so she gets Wong came in, and then they meet and they do the thing. And then in trial, it's time for that, and then Wong doesn't show up, but then he does show up, and he comes in, and he's like, yeah, totally, that's what happened here. I took him out, I'm sorry. And they're like, all right, cool, you're paroled, you can go to your 17 wives, Emil. And he's like, yay, but you can never turn into the Abomination. And he's like, chill, cool, I'm going upstate, doesn't matter to me.
Yeah. A new person.
I have a question about the Wong-Abomination relationship.
Mm-hmm. They're homies.
But why?
Because they're homies.
Like, I know that at some point I should just not ask questions, but it just seems like I know the answer is just because it's a show and they wanted them together. But, like, I just don't understand in world why Wong would seek him out of all people.
Well, I think
did you watch the Dr. Pepper.com shorts? And you thought you stopped me like, shit, were there DrPepper.com shorts?
I was like, is there a DrPepper.com? Like, is there
a... I was like, how the fuck do I not know about this?
Nick's mind went to, is there DrPepper.com?
I assure you there is. I assure you there is.
We're gonna try.
Oh my god, I love it.
My thought on it was that he needed to test his skills to become Sorcerer Supreme and grabbed Blonsky, and it was like, this guy's not half bad, we're homies now. And that's just how it is.
A sparring partner.
Cool.
That's just kind of how
I've gauged it, where it's like, I'm going to use you, and the guy's like, I don't really want to do this. You're like, oh, you're not too bad a guy.
And if you don't spar with me, I'll teleport you to a jail or
cut
something.
Your hands
exactly.
off.
Exactly.
And you know, again, I just love the She-Hulk's use of the MCU. Like, I love that it straight up is the scene from Shang-Chi. Like, I love that was set up, and it was weird that Abomination was in that there, and, like, having him here, it's like, oh, you gotta love it.
And that was a cool thing, too, because, right, that was one of people's complaints when it happened, of, like, wait, why aren't they using the Shang-Chi stuff, and, like, where is it gonna fall in the timeline, and yada, 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 and they make use of all of it. Nail it. He's out. A great part where the parole board turns to Wong, and they're like, you know, you admitted to busting out of, like, a felon. Like, you're gonna be on trial for that, and he just goes, woof, and leaves or whatever.
See you later.
Did we already do the Soprano jokes in here? No, that's next episode. That's next episode.
We have not got there yet, Greg. No.
So then he's out. That's great. All's well there. Then it's time for the shape-shifting light elf.
Boo.
Man,
not a great episode.
A forgettable one. They put too much in here. It should have just been the Abomination case, and that would have been fine. Or
is
it should have
also
next
the
one.
Dating stuff as well, where she starts dating or no?
I think it is. Where we start seeing all the different dudes like Todd and all them.
Everything with the light elf stuff caused me to worry.
Yeah, you're right. Well, no, like, you're not, because it's next time around is where we get Madison and they interrupt her smooching on the couch, remember?
Throughout this whole sort of...
She might build the app here.
Throughout the whole sort of court sequences, I was like, oh, no, I hope this isn't going to be
the
light-out
stuff was in the Emil Blonsky.
Yeah, I know, but they're talking about the dating, and the dating, I think, is in the next episode, is what I was saying.
The light-out stuff, episode. I feel like, was where the comedy wasn't the strongest in the show, but I did like the inclusion of it from a like lore perspective of it being the Asgardian stuff. It's like just cool using all of the things that they had to play with. But I didn't like the actress, and it felt a little weird. Wrong.
Not great.
Forgettable.
Except for the Megan Thee Stallion. That was great.
Of course.
Yeah. And then at the very end of the episode, Jennifer's walking home to her apartment and gets jumped by some people with new Asgard weapons or
Wrecking Crew.
I'm not familiar.
F-list MCU. Or
one of them comes back.
Marvel
right?
Comics things. Well, yeah. One of them comes back. But
spoilers. No future spoilers.
Then we're on to episode number 4. Is this not real magic? Honestly, probably my favorite my favorite episode of the season.
I mean, there's one reason, and one reason alone, that honestly, arguable that this is the number one on the MCU list. That's Madison.
Yeah.
How do you spell it, Nick?
2 N's and 1 Y, but it's not where you think.
In fucking credible. I don't think anything's ever been funnier to me in my life.
I texted Tim Geddes after I watched that, and I was like, bro, you got to prepare me for shit like this. You know, I got an old heart. I can't laugh this hard. You got to let me know.
He actually did.
I knew that it was going to be perfect Nick comedy, and I think my favorite line in the whole episode was her walking and saying, here's my drink. You can have some. I'm not sick.
Yeah.
Like, it's little jokes like that just, like,
she
really make
it
think
Wongers. What's up?
It's like, God, they just get it. They just knew what they were doing, and I hope we get more of her.
Well, that was also the episode where she has that great line where she's like, I know, Wong's in this. It's like internet armor, Twitter armor, whatever it was. I was like, that's hilarious. Because it's true. Everyone loves Wong.
Everyone loves Wong.
You always get a pass Wong or something. But that character, for me, that's a perfect level of my humor. Where it starts, and I'll say it, Andy, it's annoying at first. And then after a few months, you get to know me, and we hang out. We play some streams together. And then I'm like, you're laughing.
You're talking about yourself.
Am I?
His comedy, yeah. His
my comedy, comedy, my level
oh,
of comedy.
Okay.
My point is that it was the perfect amount of beats to the point where I'm like, oh, this character's annoying. And then it came back, I was like, okay, we're calling it back. By the third time she came back, I'm like, she needs
need
to be
more.
A staple in my life.
Yeah.
That is perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought the episode really worked with the action scene. I thought it was a lot of fun, the magician stuff.
Donnie Blaze was great, and so his good. Sidekick, the old man, was great too.
Yeah.
The guy who's just his hype man the whole time, just laughing.
Fact about that guy.
That's fucking great.
That is pretty unbelievable.
He's super old, right?
104 years old.
Yeah.
Is he really?
In real life.
Damn,
wait,
dude.
Who?
The like magician
Donnie
sidekick
Blaze
dude?
Donnie Blaze is his sidekick, dude.
No way.
Yeah.
That guy was awesome.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
In real life.
In real life.
Yeah. Am I being trolled right now?
You're not. This is not a Dr. Pepper situation.
He found Stan Lee in the river and brought him. Like the baby. You know what I mean? You're seeing where we're going with this?
I went a much darker way, Greg.
Do we think that Madison comes back?
Yes.
She
has to, right?
Yeah.
But not in, I mean, obviously in the show, they'll bring her back for an episode. But do you think she ever makes it to the
At some point, they're going to need Wong's help. And he'll... Like,
be hanging out with Madison.
He'll be like, I'm on my way or have the thing. And then she'll step in the background like, I got to go.
I mean, they set it up so great where he was watching the shows. Then he was watching shows with her. And then in the last episode where he's like, it's just a really good
bottomless
time
gin and
for
tonics
TV.
Or whatever.
And he's like, we're just in a great time
which
for
is
TV
a great,
right
like
now.
Golden era
and he was
TV.
Watching The Sopranos, which came out like 20 years ago.
But you also got to assume that they saw the reaction to her. Like, everybody loved her. I think that's one sort. Well, not everybody, but you know what I mean? Like... I think she was such a shining star in that one episode.
And she got her own poster.
Yeah,
which I just freaking
great.
Loved.
So yeah, funny.
What does it say?
What the fuck?
104 years old.
Oh, okay. My God.
What's it say? My age isn't it?
Anyways, so this is the whole thing. We've already talked about the beats, so we can just go fast. Donnie Blaze is there. He's a bad magician. He uses his sling ring. He opens the thing. Madison goes in. She eventually gets dropped on Wong's couch. Yeah. He's watching The Sopranos. He did a second-rate magician named Donnie Blaze send you here? Yes. God.
She goes, what happened? She's like, I had to give a pig creature my blood? If my sister has my blood... God, that was so
dude,
fucking funny. That's the point where I was like,
Mephisto
okay.
thing.
Mephisto, I mean, yeah. Okay. Couple crazy theories out there that, like, I don't fully buy, but if this ends up being a thing, it'd be awesome. And I feel like it's the type of thing that might not have been planned, but now they're like, oh, we could use this. People pointed out that in one of the episodes, we see Nikki, who is another one of the greatest characters ever. Absolutely love her. Every scene she's in, where she looks at the camera Like, she kind of breaks the fourth wall.
Yeah. Oh.
And while she's doing that, she's wearing earrings that have the same, like, marking, like, logo thing that Agatha has on her.
Oh.
On her.
So like a rune or something like that?
Yeah,
or?
Like a rune-looking thing. Oh, wow. And then also, she's wearing a, like, witch symbol on her necklace. So it's like, oh, they could turn that into something that would be fun.
I'm just like, whenever I want to clear my throat, I'm just...
Dude, honestly, I keep trying to mute this and I can't. Yeah. It's weird. Really weird. What is the... So the best Madison line is her explaining her name. Second best Madison line is the... First it was spooky.
Yeah, what is the
exact line there?
First it was fun, then it was spooky, and then it was fun spooky or something like that, which is... While you look that up, that's one of the things that I actually really liked about this episode was that it actually relied on her doing the court case.
Like yeah.
And it brought in an interesting moral conundrum where it was like, why does Wong get to do magic and then not... And no one else can. It's not like it's a legally sanctioned thing in the United States, right? And so that's what I hoped the show would do, which was actually put out that like a legit legal argument in front of us and have them argue it out. And they did, which is cool.
Oh. So he says, at first it was fun, then scary, then fun again, then spooky, but in a fun way.
So good.
Great stuff. Yeah, right. So and so, yeah, that happens. Then, Donnie, they sue Donnie Blaze to try to get this. His lawyer is also a lawyer, or is also a magician, which I thought was hilarious. They call it out. He's got the bunny. They can't get the injunction to stop it, even after Madison's testimony, where she's pulled from yet another bar. It continues to go on. Meanwhile, yes, there it is. Jennifer Walters creates her dating app profile, so we get to see her date all these complete losers as Jen Walters until finally, she is like, you know what? Does a She-Hulk profile. That blows up. She does a great fourth wall break to us. So this is a major blow to Jen's confidence.
Yeah, I love that.
But she goes out with a bunch of people who are either cool or like super crazy lame intelligentsia guy whose name escapes me. And then she goes out with the big guy.
Todd.
And they have a great time, and then they go home, and they're going to get it on. But while they're about to get it on, Donnie Blaze was doing a magic show, and that shit got out of control because he used the sling ring, and he let in a bunch of monsters. And Madison had ruined the Sopranos. Now, the gate gets open from Donnie. He goes and gets She-Hulk. They come back, and they fight a bunch of these the demon creatures and throw them back in their own dimensions. This then gets them to do the cease and desist so they don't have to do this anymore, and they win the lawsuit.
The show's awesome, man.
100%.
Going through it when it's all like this quick, it's like, damn, they did a lot.
You would think that you would also get the doctor spelled out in drpepper.com.
Oh.
But they didn't do it.
Oh, you're saying that if you... Wait. Oh, I see. There's no redirect to drpepper?
No, it's drpepper.com.
And when you put in Dr. Pepper, what happens?
Very unsecured site.
Very unsafe.
A lot of red things.
We've just been broken into.
Yeah. Like, what does that even mean?
Apache is functioning normally.
Y'all just got fucking hacked.
Shit.
Anyways, it seems like all is well that ends well because, of course, she comes back to hook up with that guy, Todd. And then instead, in the morning, she's looking cute in her t-shirt, making coffee or whatever. And Todd comes out and he's creeped out. He's like, what? And she's like, oh, I'm the Hulk, but I'm just Jen. And he's like, oh, and he's totally turned off, obviously, by it. And what? He leaves awkwardly.
I thought Todd was the bad guy at the end.
I don't know. I was trying to get to who she was going to fuck that night.
There was like crosstalk of it. Todd was the dude.
Intelligentsia dude.
Todd's the intelligentsia.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah,
so back to old Meathead Jones here is what we're calling
Meathead
this guy.
Jones.
Meathead Jones leaves, and as he leaves, there's a knock at the door. She opens it. It's a process server. They have a funny exchange.
I love how she's like, I've seen one of y'all.
I know what this is.
I know I'm getting excited.
And Titania is suing for the name She-Hulk. She's trademarked it or whatever, and that is the end of the episode.
But before we move on to the next episode, Greg.
Yes.
I'd like to tell you about our sponsors. Shout out to Shopify. The way that we and Rooster Teeth have powered the Kinda Funny store for years, and we absolutely love it. You can get this shirt there right now. Shopify makes it simple to sell to anyone from anywhere. Start selling with Shopify and join the platform, simplifying commerce for millions of your favorite businesses worldwide. Shopify has all the sales channels sorted so your business keeps growing from an in-person POS system to an all-in-one e-commerce platform, even across social media platforms like TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. It's how every minute new sellers around the world make their first sale with Shopify, and you will too. Shopify makes selling simple so you can put yourself and your ideas out there. When you're ready to launch your thing into the spotlight, do it with Shopify, the commerce platform backing millions of businesses down the street and around the globe. Go on, try Shopify for free and start selling anywhere. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/kfgames, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/kfgames to start selling online today. shopify.com/kfgames. Next up, shout out to Raycon. I'm excited to tell you all about their new Raycon gaming series. The gaming series consists of two staple gaming audio products, the wireless gaming earbuds that are compact, portable, and universal, or the wireless gaming headphones that are comfortable and immersive. The HyperSync low latency technology lets you hear what you see lag-free. That's always great for games. Of course, because no gamer's just a gamer, Raycon's gaming series is just as perfect for music, podcasts, and crystal clear phone calls. Personally, I'm a huge fan of bumping these with a haptic vibration. It's the extra type of way that I like to live. It keeps me extra immersed in all of the sound. As always, you get a 30-day Raycon happiness guarantee with free shipping and returns, no questions asked. They also offer buy now, pay later options. So stay on the winning team and go to buyraycon.com/kinda today to get 15% off your Raycon order. You'll also get $20 off Raycon's gaming earbuds or $10 off their gaming headphones. That's buyraycon.com/kinda to score 15% off and even more savings. Buyraycon.com/kinda. Plus, this October, Raycon's got some special pricing up to $20 off. Don't miss out. Buyraycon.com/kinda. And now we're back. I guess we're going to edit this one.
How about that?
We move on to episode.
Wait, what were we supposed to play? I literally just walked out there and asked Barrett, and he said no.
Okay, then no, we're not.
Okay.
Yeah, I figure not. What Patreon kids are watching.
That is correct.
Right?
That is correct. There's a mistake on my part.
Here's what would have happened there. You would have played the ad, Cody and Melissa Hagler. Piss.
Mm-hmm.
They send you a tweet.
Double uppercut.
They're on the Reddit. They're in your ear.
We're going to make it okay.
Hagglers! Anyways, number five. Mean green and straight poured into these jeans. This is the one where, the She-Hulk trademark thing's going on. I don't remember this episode well, so I'm reading here. Holloway warns Walters that she needs to deal with the situation quickly and assigns Mallory Brooke as her attorney for the case. Oh, because she can't represent herself. Right. Yeah. Nikki and Pug come up with a plan to acquire a superhero outfit from Walters from Walters Fortrum, Luke Jacobson, a highly executive. I'm not trying anymore. It's just like, you got to power through it, Andy. I tried multiple times to land the plane. We got to just fly to the next. I'm passing O'Hare. I'm landing in Iowa. All right.
No,
I got time for this.
I'm laughing at what Nick slacked me. Earlier, we're having a conversation, and he was like, we're the best. And I said, we really are. And then about 30 minutes later, I said, what's up? What are you doing after this? And he said, I got some stuff to do. Why? Should we finally fuck Greg up?
I'd love to see you guys coming, bro. I might not be able to outrun you, but I could beat your ass.
Maybe I'll chase your ass down like a fucking rat.
So she's going to get the super suit made there. Then while that's happening, they go after to countersue Titania, exploiting She-Hulk's name. Walters is annoyed to discover that Todd Phelps, one of her unsuccessful dates, is also a client at her firm, but this helps her realize that she can use the dating app history to establish a past record of her identifying as She-Hulk before Titania tried to gain the trademark. Using her past dates testimonies, Walters wins the case and establishes a tentative friendship with Book. Walters later acquires the new costume outfits from Jacobson. I feel like this is a forgetful episode, personally. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed all these episodes, but again, that's the one where
is this
like,
where
oh,
we
shit,
get that little hint to the Daredevil costume when it's in the box? Is this at the end of it?
Yeah, this
is the very end. Yeah, the very end.
I liked this again, I think, because it leans into the legal battles of the show, and I liked that it was clever, right? She was conflicted and went on the dating apps as Jen, and then was like, fuck it, I'll be She-Hulk, and then that actually ended up helping her. And it was a good setup. Mm-hmm. You know, Andy's just going
to
leave.
There's no way to go to the bathroom or get another drink in this studio and not seem like you're pissed. Because Andy just got up like...
It is a long walk, you guys. And with the gym, you got to walk around. It's a whole thing.
If I'm being honest, while Andy's gone and he can't hear us,
yeah.
When he walks, there's a certain like tightness to his lower half.
If we're being honest, and again, he's faster than me, so this isn't even a knock. I'm admitting that. I'm saying I need that on my record. Yeah, you can take this. You can put it on the wall if you want. He doesn't swing his arms enough.
No.
There is some motion to the arms, Tim, but like not like a human motion.
He's at about, I would say, and Tim will understand this, 20% Tom Cruise arms.
Oh my God. Okay.
20%. He could be at 100%. I'd be okay with that.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's that episode.
That is.
Anything you want to add to that?
Nope. No. I mean, it was an interesting call to tease Daredevil and then not have him in the next episode. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world, but like, it was a call. I do love the idea of the Drip King. I love the idea of this guy being out there and like making the costumes on the West Coast side. Very, very cool. And that, I imagine, is going to turn into something that we hear more from in the future.
Maybe this would be where we get, you know, cool outfits.
Maybe, Greg.
Number episode six. What? Episode number six. Mm-hmm. I put all those words into the first sentence with no real rhyme or reason. This one's called
The European Way.
Just Jen. God, what is that problem? You know what I mean?
And we're tired.
Hey, you know, hey, tell me the date. And they're like, well, first I'll start with the numbers. You have to guess the month you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Just sense. Jen. This is
love the different title treatments, by the way. I love the Just Jen. Yeah, yeah, I love the Savage Hulk or Savage She-Hulk. I love the when Titania like bought the rights to it, whatever. Good stuff.
So she goes to this wedding where she's like super stoked to go to the wedding and be hot as fuck and be the coolest thing around. And like, you know, usually go to a wedding, you just got to sit there. Nobody cares who you are. They don't care how many Game Awards you have. Mm-hmm. But this is one of her chances to go there and have a South by Southwest award and have it really matter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, Nick.
Out of the people at the wedding, does anyone know what a Game Award is? Like, how many people do you think?
I mean, the viewership goes up every year, so arguably, yeah. Just maybe not in the heyday of 2015, 2016. That's the big thing.
Back when it was like the real Game Awards. Back when things, you know.
Back when it was much smaller. Put a lot audience, more effort, you know what I mean? Feel like a lot of people. I don't think I'm asking too much for Jeff just to replay my speech at some time.
Maybe you should just start bringing that heavy ass trophy around with you at all the weddings you go to. So you can just show it to people.
It's not a bad idea.
I love this wedding episode. I thought they did a great job of like playing with all the wedding tropes and the like bridal parties and all the silly stuff. Like I thought it was very smartly written.
Yeah. And it's fun, and she has to be, you know, little Jen in her little outfit. The big outfit was for She-Hulk, now it's small in her. Nobody really likes her all that much except one guy whose name escapes me as well.
Tom, I want to say.
Tom.
Tim.
Tom. Eventually, though, Titania shows up, right, and she's like, I am here to ruin the wedding. She's dating somebody there, but she's just doing it to get under Jen's skin. And she's like, I'm not here to ruin the wedding. She's like, yeah, you are. And then it's fine for a while, but then, yeah, Titania's like, now it's time to fight. And they fight, and they brawl in there. And, you know, she thinks she's ruined the wedding, but guess what? The bride's super stoked to have She-Hulk fucking up the wedding because that's cool.
And I love that initial sort of approach where she walks up to her, she's like, She-Hulk is here at my wedding, and she plays a really funny drunk, you know, like it's hard to kind of pull off without being corny. I think she did a really great job of acting that.
It was a good boob joke. Don't remember, but there was.
Oh, she was mad at her boobs. She was mad at, like, She-Hulk having big boobs and, like, jealous.
Yeah, and then later she, like nuzzled.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Nuzzled, boob nuzzled.
Meanwhile, back at the old law firm, Mr. Immortal's going to be the case of the week.
Oh, my God. That was incredible.
Enjoyed this.
Instead of whenever he wants to get out of one of his marriages or relationships, he just kills himself.
Yeah. One of the great Lake Avengers, Mr. Immortal.
Okay.
And this actor, he was someone.
Yeah,
he was someone. I'm going to look up who he was.
We talked about it. Damn it.
Yeah.
Larry.
Meanwhile, so that Nikki.
Oh,
and
he was the guy from Book of Boba Fett. He was the mayor or whatever of the
hello, Boba Fett. It's me, Malaria, the mayor.
That was like one of the Twi'leks.
The one that what's his face kills.
I don't think he dies, but anyway, he was really funny.
Oh no, yeah, my pull for him is he was the ex-husband on Veep, the shitty asshole ex-husband that she kept having an affair with again because she kept banging him. It was hilarious.
I can't wait for HBO show to come back.
Yeah, which one? Curb?
Succession.
Hell yeah. Can't wait for that to come back, Greg.
Bing! Do you want to do... Can we do Succession in screencasts? I'd love to do that.
You should watch Yellowstone. It's like Succession,
I'm in the middle of something.
Montana.
Can I do this?
Whatever you want.
All right, cool. Andy, you're doing Succession screencast with me.
Man.
We'll get Lucy James back.
I'm not looking forward to that show.
Why not? so that happens. They get him out of it. Nikki earns some, gold stars from books because she's able to solve all this shit. Meanwhile, this is also when they figure out, I'm reading now, the intelligentsia thing.
Great ending. Great ending to that episode. Is this the episode where she's like, promise me you won't call Jen and tell
her?
She immediately calls her.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Of course I'm calling. Leave her a message.
Elsewhere, scientists working for Hulk King Spine Walters and plan another attempt to steal the blood sample from her. And this is the end of that one. Number 7 is The Retreat. Walters goes on several dates with Miller. Oh, no. That's what his name is. It's me. And they hit it. They're playing it cool and slow, but eventually she invites him in, right? And we're like, yay. And then she wakes up in the morning and he's gone. And then he won't text her back. And then she's driving up to The Retreat. She has to get Emil to sign something or whatever, right? And she's driving up and she's worrying about her text and worrying about her text. But then there's a great insert of her. I think she's singing Mbop, right, or whatever on the radio.
Oh, killer.
I think that was it. It's great. But she gets up there and guess
great
what?
Music overall in the show in terms of licensed stuff.
Okay.
Like, I really liked how varied it was and like how often it came up.
And they get up there, and guess what? It's just the thing's broken, so they want to do this. And yeah, okay. Then there's an officer that came with her. That's right. And so he gets up there, finds out the thing's just broken. They fix it. No big deal. No harm, no foul. He leaves, but then Man Bull and El Aguilar? Andy?
El Aguila?
Yeah, is that how I say that one? Accidentally destroy her car.
Yeah, El Aguila, yeah.
That gotcha, gotcha. The eagle.
Thank you.
The eagle.
Forcing her to stay until we towed away. Despite the retreat lacking internet and cell coverage, Walters continues to nervously wait for a response from Miller. She attends a group therapy session with Blonsky, Manbull, the Eagle Man, Porcupine, Sarakson, and the Wrecker, where she is convinced to delete Miller's contact information and let go of her feelings towards him. It is revealed 3 days later Miller secretly cloned Walter's phone and stole a sample of her blood on behalf of Hulk King after sleeping with her.
Really dark.
Really, yeah. Really yeah. Dark. And they went there with this, too, with, like, the revenge porn stuff. Or not even revenge porn, just, like the leaks.
Well, we're getting there, yeah.
But yeah. I was surprised that they went that messed up with it. Because, like, I mean, they're setting up this intelligentsia stuff where it is just a bunch of, you know, like, asshole dudes on the internet.
It's 4chan, yeah.
Yeah, but then it's, like, they're... It's going to go bigger in future projects we see of, like, the real-world government-level issues with it all. But starting it with these, like, just, like, assholes, taking it that far, I thought, like, gave the show a little bit more. Like, that's the stakes of it, you know?
Yeah. I also wanted to shout out, like, it's such a drastic change in tone. And I wasn't expecting it to really go there. But not only was it a really, really sad ending, but I loved the kind of positivity that we saw from the group, given like when they were kind of like encouraging her to drop this dude. I really liked, I wasn't a huge fan of the group dynamics until those moments later on where they were like convincing her, hey, drop this guy. He's not for you. He, you know, you need to move on or whatever. For the most part, it kind of reminds me of the motley crew that you have inside of, in Peacemaker. Where I was like, oh, I don't really love these guys a whole lot. I kind of felt the same way about this whole group until I think they really shined when they were convincing her to move on.
They get Porcupine to take off his mask. Like, oh, God, put it back on. Awful.
Also, I just like that they're actually, like, trying to be good people. Yeah. It wasn't a red herring like we thought at the end. When you saw Emil, you're like, oh, I hope he's just getting, like, he's just letting his greed get the most of him and doesn't realize what he booked. And, of course, that's what it was. But the guy that's like, hey, like, the guy with the ponytail is, like, legit trying to be a better person. You're like, oh, that's kind of endearing. It's nice that they stuck with that character.
The next episode, ladies and gentlemen, gets us going. It's number 8, Ribbit and Rip It. Mm-hmm. Fuck yes. What an episode of TV here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
They got Leapfrog, who got a suit from Jacobson. You know, he said that it was supposed to be not flammable. It was supposed to be able to burn all the stuff, but his jet fuel boosters, you know, set it on fire. And so she wants, Leapfrog wants to sue Jacobson. Jen, of course, goes to her boss, says this is a conflict of interest because, of course, he's making me a suit and I really want to look good and I really want cool stuff. At this point, the boss is like, no, you got to deal with it. You know, you represented somebody who tried to kill your brother and destroyed Harlem. You can do this. So she goes to Jacobson, says she to pick up her stuff, and then tells him that, you know, she has to do this. He gets mad. They go to court. In walks his attorney. It's fucking Matt Murdock, ladies and gentlemen.
Badass.
Woo! Matt comes in, fucking wipes the floor with Jennifer Walters here in the lawyer sense, right? You know what I mean? He's got answers. He's got documentations. He's got quid pro quo. He's got pro bono. He's out there just doing it all. You know what I mean? But it gets there when, you know, Eugene Leapfrog is like, and it's in my suit. And then he goes, wait a second. What did you put in there? And he's like, I put in jet fuel or whatever it was. It's not supposed to burn that hot, idiot. This is user error. Case dismissed. You know what I mean?
He smelled that. He's got that good nose.
He does got that good nose. And something else good, you know what I mean?
What? Don't tell me.
DD.
Good dick.
D.
I think you're going to go pipe all over this MCU if you haven't noticed.
I thought you were going to go super gross and then go cock.
Jesus, Andy. This is a kid's show we're playing.
No, but one time Greg said cock and it was really off-putting.
It was weird.
I was talking about a cock I had to do in the bathroom tile.
You put an L in there on that one. For sure.
You never know where the L is. Jennifer goes to drown her sorrows at the Legalese, as I've known from the start of this episode. And guess what? Matt shows up and he orders her a drink and he comes over and they start talking and there's immediate chemistry and it's fucking
like,
dope.
You're feeling this, right?
He gets a phone call and leaves and she turns to us and like, you're feeling this, right? Like, this is a thing, right? He says in a hurried voice, I have to leave. So he leaves and then she pretty much immediately or in a little bit gets a call from Leapfrog, who says he's being, you know, beat up and chased and he needs help. So we get the debut of her She-Hulk supersuit, where she stops the car and finds the one and only Daredevil up there. And
with the music. They gave him the theme song.
Badass
and it was
moment,
just awesome.
Too, where he stands up and has that, like, dope-ass beat drop as we see the new suit for the first time. And I'm going to say it. This fight was awesome. The way he moves, he can't beat.
Well, he looks great, dude. Especially like when he infiltrates.
Yeah.
When later on in the episode, because let's just get there now. So
the CG also looked really good. I think is what maybe.
Yeah.
Like it didn't look like a lot of superhero movies look whenever there's a CG person moving around where it clearly looks like a fake 3D model animating in a weird way humans can't. I thought it looked really convincing.
Charlie Cox actually said in an interview yesterday that for Daredevil Born Again, they're going to use more CG for this exact reason of making him a little bit more acrobatic and like make the parkour a little bit more cool superhero-y.
It was dope. Like when him jumping off of the parking structure and then just like catching himself. That's fucking awesome.
Charlie Cox did that practically though.
I heard that twice. They were like, Charlie, can we get one more take on that? He's like, no.
Are you talking about in the gap that she broke in the floor? Because I thought that was pretty
sick. No, he did that, but then he jumps off and like every level grabs a hold of it as he's falling down, which was super cool. And then when she takes a swing at it, what I like is she takes a swing at him, and instead of trying to hit her because he knows he can't stop, he just kind of does the Matrix move where he slides out and then pops back up and keeps running. It's super cool. Well done.
Let's try that right now.
You want? I'll take a swing at you, or Greg's gonna swing at you.
No, yeah, I'm gonna swing at you, and you try to do the acrobatics.
Why don't we both jump on Greg's back and beat his fucking ass?
You guys couldn't. You know
fuck
what I mean?
Him up.
I'd love to see you try. I'd love to see you try. Maybe if I was sleeping, you know what I mean? Because my first reaction will be, of course, to roll over, protect Jen. I'll take the beating. Then I'll make sure she's okay, right? And then she's going to do that thing where she sleeps in boots. And her boots got knives in them. She's going to start kicking. You guys are
those are heavy boots.
I think she could have just had a weapon with
she's
her.
Gonna, do you think she's going to do that thing where she sleeps in boots.
The other night she tried to move that pillow you gave me.
So heavy.
She's so heavy.
It's such a heavy
pillow. She's literally like, what the hell's wrong with this pillow? Why does gravity work differently on this pillow?
In it.
Do you think at a point 6 months into the boots, you're like, I don't think it's worth it? Because every time you roll over, you hit my shin and it bruises it.
Greg, you didn't check, but in the pillow is all chili.
You got me. Anyways, we've covered the fight scene. Guess what? Jacobson got kidnapped by Leapfrog. This is now a team up. They're going to go over there at top of the parking garage, come up with a plan. But again, there's a little sexual tension. It's hot. And then Daredevil does the cool thing on the way down. Then he goes in there and he just fucks people up in the hallway, Daredevil style.
I mean, like, just to stop you right here. And
stop me anywhere, brother.
I'm just so impressed with their use of Daredevil, because there's a lot of times where, I mean, going back to WandaVision, we had Evan Peters as Quicksilver. Boner. And it ended up being not that. But it's like, if you're going to have Evan Peters as Quicksilver, what do you need to do? You need to do the slow-mo licensed music moment. Mm-hmm. I can't believe they wasted that opportunity. Like, why even have him if you're not going to do the thing? This episode, they did the thing with Daredevil. They did all the things. Where they had the Matt Murdock versus She-Hulk legal battle. That was incredible. We got the hallway fight. That was incredible. We got them boning. And then we had the fun of it all. Incredible, and it all felt like Matt Murdock. It felt authentic to the character. I'm so impressed with what they achieved with this episode.
Did they ever explain how he's able to practice law in California as a New York attorney? Or do we not give a shit?
You have to go to drpepper.com to find out.
Yeah, there's a short about that where he eats bazooka gel.
God, dude. Here's the rope. Here's the rope. Greg's right at the end of it. He's right. He's holding on to the end of it.
And it's not gum. So then all that stuff happens, like we said. They beat on Leapfrog, who had they had the whole tadpole conversation in there. That was funny. They had a whole bunch of frog shit. That was funny. Then they go home. They go bone. And then we get the awesome walk of shame. Daredevil just walking, holding his boots on the lawn.
And then Nikki comes and she's like, there's a guy dressed as a devil who's doing the walk of shame outside.
Oh, it was you? Was it good? It was good. Yeah. And then we have another great moment with Jen, where she's like, this isn't over? That seemed like a natural end. That's not the episode? Oh, they're doing this for building
Wolverine
this thing.
Cameo.
What are we going to do? And so it's that she's been nominated for a Female Attorney of the Year award or whatever. Like, oh, okay, cool. So they get ready for the gala. They go to the gala. She gets there. She invites her entire family. They get to the gala, and then, the winner is Jen Walters, and this woman, and this woman, and this woman. It's totally just one of those, like, fucking stunts. It's just a PR stunt. Yeah. They give a thing to everyone, and then they get online of asking, what's it like to be a woman and an attorney or whatever, and they all have bad answers. And Jen gets there, and rather than, you know, totally dog on it, she takes a moment to thank her parents, but it's interrupted by an Intelligentsia broadcast talking about you shouldn't be honoring She-Hulk. She's horrible and she's terrible. And she's also a slut. I like that they were like doing it live and they totally like, she's also a slut. Yeah, she's also a slut. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. And
then not very well planned out. They just kind of.
Yeah. They hack the thing, and they're showing all these photos, and then, yeah, they start showing the sex tape that was made with Miller or whatever from the cloned phone. Jen loses it, starts tearing the wall apart and really kind of hulking out, and like, and she turns around and sees the horror in everybody's faces, but then also sees a guy pull up a mask and start to run, so she gives chase to him. But when she gets outside, Damage Control is there with their guns drawn or whatever, and again, everyone around her is just horrified, and we end the episode there. We pick up with the finale now. Whose show is this? Jen is released from Damage Control's custody, but she has to wear the same kind of inhibitor Bruce does, so she can no longer become the Hulk. She's, of course, fired from her job. That's the end of that. And so she's super down and depressed. And so what happens from there, she's just super depressed about it. And then Pug and Nikki are going to try to bring down Intelligentsia from the inside. And that, what? Oh, that's great. Remember, Nikki gets an embarrassing video of her dancing from college from her mom with her thong hanging out and posts that on the site to earn Intelligentsia's credit.
Trust.
They say, okay, but then Pug's got to go do it. He's got to go in there and have the one thing on.
I love the moment when she's like, oh, the mic's out. Just improv. Like, he can't improv.
Yeah,
like,
what am I saying?
It's so great. I will say, shout out to that guy that plays Pugs, too, because I like him a lot.
Yeah, he's very such an airhead,
guy.
Yeah.
Just not wanting to be there at all.
I like that guy.
And I love that they have the Iron Man 3s, where it's like all the superhero shoes and stuff. I'm like, this
yeah,
fantastic.
We didn't cover that in whatever episode that was. That was great or whatever. So, yeah, they go to this thing where Intelligentsia is meeting. They're all talking shit. Sure as shit, Todd is there. Todd Phelps is there, and he's the bad guy. He's Hulk King, right? He says, "Yeah, he's Hulk King." And then Abomination walks in. You're like, "Oh no, Abomination's a bad guy." And then Jen was coming to meet with Emilia because she needed help or whatever, and so she walks in on this. Everybody flips out about her. Emil scoops her up, showing that Emil was just hired to be a motivational speaker. He doesn't know what this is. However, he is violating his parole by being Abomination. He scoops her up. The Hulk smashes down. Hulk King announces that he's used her blood to synthesize it and become the Hulk because he deserves it, you know, more than her. It should have been him. He starts to change, and then Jen does like the stop time Zach Morris thing. Like, wait, what the fuck are we doing? Like, this is dumb. This is. Happened before, well-worn territory. What the fuck's going on?
For you guys, did you have the moment where you're like, oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
then
yeah.
You're like, oh, yes. Like, it was so, so great.
And so, oh, yeah, Titania shows up, too. Eventually, though, yeah, then it goes back to your Disney Plus screen, which is so fucking good. She punches out the little Disney Plus tile, comes down, you know, through the screen.
Oh, Marvel's Assembled.
Marvel's Assembled. Yeah, that'll work. And it's like a behind-the-scenes thing. Come on, that's
goes
great.
Goes in there, starts yelling at the writers or whatever. They direct her. It all comes down to Kevin. She goes down a couple hallways, turns a corner. It's
didn't
done.
Like this fight scene. I thought it was unnecessary. Her going through. There he is. It's Larry himself.
That's Cousin Larry right there.
Yeah, that's Cousin Larry.
The guy on the left looks like Mary or Pippin, one of them.
Does look like Pippin, actually. It might be related.
That's Larry.
That's Balky. Larry's the other one.
Larry's the other guy.
That's Balky. That's
Balky, of course,
Pinchot.
Bronson Pinchot.
That's
remember him probably.
Cousin Larry right there.
Prankster, right? In Lois and Clark. That's probably remember him from if you don't remember Perfect Strangers.
Thank
I
you
don't.
For that.
No problem.
Very
no
important.
Problem. You got somewhere to be? Huh? We build the studio. You want to get out of
it? Oh,
that
there's bag? Kevin. He's so scary down there.
Hulk, Kev.
Oh, he's Hulk. He's hulking out. I see. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Hulk.
So small.
Hulk. Somebody's making a point there. The fight scene. You're talking about the fight scene.
Oh,
fight
yeah. It felt, I don't know where, like, it's a fun song. And
I legit
stuff.
Don't remember what you're talking about.
The hallway where she's, like, beating up the security, like, after the riders to get into Kevin's room. It kind of felt. Like, I get that they're breaking the fourth wall, and they're just like, you get it, let's just move. But, like, I feel like we could have just skipped that. Like, she could have just went in, and it would have been okay.
Well,
like,
we need her being violent against random security guards. That felt a little out of place. She's like, that's kind of weird. We don't. It's like when Bruce and her fought. You're like, I get that someone here was like, we should have an action scene. But that's the antithesis of what this whole moment needed. And, again, she walks in and starts talking to him. Like, this is a brilliant way to handle this episode. Because at the end of the day, to your point earlier, like, they can't necessarily, maybe they don't have the budget to nail these fights, nor should they. They found a more creative way to end this episode that's funny and keeping in spirit to the She-Hulk, like, behind the, you know, fourth wall breaking vibe. And they did it. It was hilarious.
I respect the bravery of it, man, because, like, there's so many ways that it could have not worked out. Like, it's on paper, pitching this must have been such a difficult thing to do. Like, you're telling your writers that you want to just. No, we're going to make it look like a big fight. It's like, well, really? Like,
you want to know what's funny?
What's up?
About this? Apparently the pitch went perfectly. Like, really? They were just like, this is great. Totally cool. There was one thing that Kevin Feige was like, no, like, you're going too far. The hat on the Kevin robot. They're like, the one thing that Kevin Feige had an issue with is like, why would the robot have a hat?
Hilarious.
And they're like, it's your hat. And he's like, I know, but it just goes too far. And the showrunner had to be like, Kevin, like, think about this for a second.
Yeah.
You're serious with everything I just pitched you.
Yeah.
The hat's going too far. Kevin's like, you're right. Okay.
That's awesome. I love that. I love that.
That's why Kevin Feige's a homie. You know what I mean? He'll be on soon enough this show, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Okay. Definitely.
She goes in there and meets with Kevin, makes the X-Men joke we all love, talks about how this is just like the same thing we always talk about on these things. Just like, let's fight the villain that has the same powers of the hero, right? And that's stupid, and they should change that and all these different stuff. So she like takes away Todd's powers. That's not how that's going to happen. She gets Bruce out of there. Why would she need to be rescued or anything like that? She does something to Emil. I forget. I think she makes him back into Emil rather than be that or whatever. Blah, blah, blah. But basically, all is well that ends well kind of thing. And he agrees, and that's okay. And then she sends
him off to jail.
Yeah, she wants him to be accountable for his actions.
Yeah. Sure.
And so he submits to jail, and then immediately...
Is he going
to
be in jail for like 7 years?
10 years, and he immediately just escapes.
Bust him out right away.
Similar to what I was saying about the Daredevil stuff, where they just like, they did exactly what they had to do. I think the whole dialogue bit between her and Kevin was pitch perfect. Like, I think they did everything that they should, and like, all of it was funny, all of it was like the right references. Great performance. I mean, we've just went this entire time without even talking about Tatiana Maslany, which
so
the screencast we talked about so many times.
Amazing.
She's so good, and I just feel like this scene was like very, like, perfectly done.
And so, yeah, she comes out of there, and everything we just said happens. Blonsky's arrested, so is Todd Phelps. That's all good. We go to a barbecue then with the family where she's with Matt Murdock, right? And they're making jokes about kids or whatever, and it's like, oh, this is moving fast. But yeah, come on, stick with it. Let's see what Daredevil Born Again is with She-Hulk hopping around.
I mean, real talk, I can't believe that they're a couple at the end of this. Like, we'll see if it sticks or whatever, but like, that it's a cool call for them,
for
like,
sure.
to have that kind of moment be, you know, a change in the canon of MCU.
And then the Hulk shows up, and guess what, everybody? He went to Sakaar to get his son, Scar. And he's got a son named Scar.
He does.
Whoa.
Scar from Sakaar?
Scar from Sakaar.
And so here's the thing. Episode 1 of She-Hulk happens. We do our screencast. We talk about it. And I'm like, guys, I can't believe they're freaking doing it. We get the ship from Sakaar. And I was like, they're building. They're doing it. And I was talking about this kid. And I was expecting it. And I did not expect them to actually do it in the show. Didn't expect them to have it kind of be a comedy bit. I'm a little concerned about this. The Hulk kid. Like, that's supposed to be a really serious, like, World War Hulk, like, scary situation of, like, big MCU stuff, not jokey She-Hulk stuff. They can figure it out, I'm sure. But one of my hesitations.
Did you find
here.
It, what, comedic? I thought it
yeah,
was
what
just,
was
like,
the joke about
here's
it?
The hints.
He got introduced. I didn't see him, like, then go...
Him acting like... Him being in control and being just, like...
Oh, he's supposed to be out of
like
control?
I mean, he's supposed to be, like, a Hulk, you know? Like, he's supposed to be more like... He's supposed to be like Hulk was on Sakaar.
Mm. Okay. He's got cool hair.
He does.
Who's the mom?
I don't want to say it.
I mean, I'm just going to Google it if you know what's
happening. Don't be good.
I don't want
you should
know.
read World War Hulk. It's really good. Really good.
Google it and then tell Nick, and then
start,
you tell me.
Start at the fourth episode.
She goes back to her job, and then, yeah, Blonsky gets broken out by Wong to go to Kamertage. And that's
like,
what's
you
still
watch? Like, you were watching The Sopranos again. We're like, we're still in an unprecedented era of TV. This is a great time for TV. Great.
And that's She-Hulk.
Like, Tim would have said those words, and I would have gone. Like, I don't know.
But then
the
when we
person.
Get there,
but it's an explanation. I just now the I'm more you look into it, you're gonna spoil yourself. Don't do it.
Google
just don't do it.
Person.
Just don't do it.
Google it and tell me, and then I'll act like I've always known.
Okay.
What the fuck was that?
Are we playing it?
Yeah. Dude, did it.
Well,
did
I was
it.
Testing.
Oh, okay.
Test.
I was like, it's so quiet.
Ragu. Bagu.
Was this person in the movies? Do we see? Is she in the background somewhere that I need to be paying attention to? Thank you. That was good. I like that. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Rad Guys Talk Bad Guys, the podcast within a podcast. This is where we rank all the villains of the MCU universe. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Nick Scarpino, Andy Cortez, and Tim Geddes. On God Mike, Kevin Coelho. Gentlemen, we need to rank the villain of She-Hulk. I think the overarching one, of course, would be Todd, Intelligentsia, and Toxic Masculinity.
I like that. That's really good.
Remember, when we rank now, we have so many villains on the MCU in review list that are now cranking past almost to 50. This will be number 50 we enter right here. We have S tier, A tier, B tier, C tier, D tier, F tier. Where do we want to put Todd, Intelligentsia for tiers, and toxic masculinity?
Real quick with that, even the toxic masculinity, I feel it's even just like kind of like superhero tropes as well. You know, like being the villain of this and how they deal with it. Like, especially once you get to the end episode of like, what did she actually have to overcome? And I, because of that, I'd put it even higher.
She had to overcome Kevin Feige.
Like, all of that. Like, I think I'd probably, my gut says B tier.
Or B tier starts with Baconator.
Okay, then A tier.
Really? Okay. I was going to go probably B tier, mid B tier. I mean, the thing for me is, like, it wasn't, even though it was the overarching sort of, like, thing, they bailed out of it at the end. I feel like that was the whole, like, I don't know. I just feel like it wasn't an imminent threat the entire time. I think it was more of a nuisance to at least the viewer. We're like, oh, that's a thing, right? I forgot we're doing that. I thought it was going to be a much bigger deal toward the end there, but she handled it in a more comedic and fun way. I don't know.
Greg Miller, can you read
for me? I don't think
it
was the focus of the story is what I'm trying to say.
Andy has the floor.
Can you read for me the B tier, please?
The B tier starts at number 16 in the Ragu Bagu list with Baconator from X-Men. Baconator First Class from X-Men Future Class. Memento Stepmom from Werewolf Around or Us or whatever. Pierce Logan, X-24 from Logan. Stryker from X-2. Hydra from Captain America Winter Soldier. Ultron from Avengers Age of Ultron. Echo plus TSM / Kingpin / More /
And Hawkeye.
/ the mom from The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It in Hawkeye. Icarus and the Deviants from Eternals. Blah.
See, I think it's higher than these. Like, because I feel like they did a good job of like peppering it in through the whole thing, and it wasn't supposed to mean a lot. But then we get these moments like the revenge porn thing, where it's like this is like they took it there, and then
I don't think it's higher than Baconator. I think Baconator is such like a line in the sand of like. Either you're at S or A.
In Baconator First Class from X-Men Future Class, what was his name and what were his motivations and what did he do?
Just perform. I mean, Greg, I have a bad memory. I don't remember anything.
You're talking about Kevin Bacon?
Yeah, Kevin Bacon's performance in that movie was awesome.
Well, yes, you put Kevin Bacon in a paper bag. His performance is going
to
be amazing.
He wanted to kill all humans and make a fucking master race of mutants. That's pretty bad to the bone.
Remember,
bro.
He killed fucking the guy who
had the helmet. Magneto would never have that helmet.
See, what you just said, he wanted to kill all the humans and make a master race. You're thinking of X-Men, where Magneto wanted to kill all the humans by turning them into mutants and make a master race of mutants. Remember, then Senator Kelly turned into water. They're all the fucking same. Don't come in here. Kevin Bacon, if you're watching, Kevin, you're fantastic. You're a fucking rock star. I love you so much. I watched fucking Hollow Man in theaters, but come on. Nobody knows what Baconator fucking did in this other than he had a coin and he had a fucking helmet. That's what we know
about
him.
Maybe you can talk through my mic and not sound stupid.
What did you just fucking say to me? You're fucking stupid.
Let's fuck him up.
I feel like with Ragu Bagu, it gets hard because sometimes we're like, how good were they at being a bad guy? And sometimes it's more just like, what did they do in the project or whatever? But with this, I feel like we often criticize the bad guys in the movies for like, oh, in the third act, it all fell apart because they just turned into this. The fact that it didn't, the fact that they committed and they built it up and committed to not doing that, I won't give him the credit for.
See,
but
here's my argument. I think that goes into the She-Hulk. That goes into She-Hulk's camp of her being great. And, you know, we're not talking Ragu Grooshes. You know what I mean? Rad guys talk. What I even say? I'm talking about good girl. I don't know. Anyways, here's what I'm saying, though.
Really pissed off Nick with that one.
13. Let's talk about the end of the A tier. Mm-hmm. 13 is Ego from Guardians 2. 14 is Mysterio from Far From Home. 15 is Gore from Thor Love and Thunder. Then B tier starts with Baconator, Memento, Stepmom, blah, blah, blah.
Above Gore.
I'm willing to put him above Mysterio.
I stole the floor. My vote would be, if I had my list here, I would take Todd and put him above for Baconator in First Class, have them start the B tier. Because, again, I don't think it's at the detriment of the show, but the villains and bad guys or whatever of this, they aren't rad guys. They're just an afterthought. Jennifer, She-Hulk, and her friends are the star of the show, and I think that's how it should be.
I don't know, man. Intelligentsia, I thought they built it well. I'd argue for above Gore.
Nick needs a snack. All right, so let's start getting votes in then. Tim is saying above Gore in the A tier. That'd be number, that would take over for 15. I'm saying number 16, the start of B tier. What are you voting for, Nick?
Below Baconator.
You're saying below Baconator? Okay. Yeah.
Sure, I'll go for that. That's fine.
So then,
just
this is usually Tim's job, but let's stick with it. Raise your hand if you think it should be. I guess yeah, that's how it would. Yeah, that's how it's gonna go, right?
If two people, are you with Andy?
Always.
I hate you.
They just don't get it. They don't get it.
So then it's done, right? Then
yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I'm.
Talk on my mic. You sound smarter.
All right, so. Todd, intelligentsia, toxic masculinity, and superhero tropes are entering Ragu Bagu at the 17 slot in the B tier, below Baconator First Class, above the Memento Stepmom.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
The Memento Stepmom.
She's the woman from Memento who was the stepmom in Werewolf.
Oh, gotcha.
From London.
By night.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Werewolf from London by night.
This
makes perfect sense. It works if you work it.
That's the facts. Now it's time to rank the MCU. The current rankings are as follows. Number one, Endgame. Number two, Infinity War. Number three, No Way Home. Number four, Homecoming. Number five, Civil War. Number six, Ragnarok. Number seven, Winter Soldier. Number eight, Guardians 2. Number nine, Loki. Number 10, WandaVision. Number 11, Avengers. Number 12, Guardians 1. Number 13, Shang-Chi. Number 14, Love and Thunder. 15, Iron Man. 16, Far From Home. 17, Black Panther. 18, Doctor Strange. 19, Werewolf by Night. 20, Multiverse of Madness. 21, Hawkeye. 22, Miss Marvel. 23, Falcon and Winter Soldier. 24, Captain Marvel. 25, Ant-Man and the Wasp. 26, Ant-Man. 27, Black Widow. 28, Iron Man 2. 29, there's a lot of these. Age of Ultron. 30, First Avenger. 31, Iron Man 3. 32, Eternals. 33, What If. 34, yes. Moon Knight. 35, Hulk. 36, Thor. 37, Thor Dark World. I didn't like how I said Moon Knight there. Moon Knight?
Moon Knight?
Who wants to start the bid?
Fix the atrocities you guys committed last episode. Two episodes ago. And I would say we take this far better comedy and put it at number 14, below Shang-Chi and, or no, Shang-Chi, and above Love and Thunder.
I like that.
Thank you. There. Andy, come with us. The water's fine.
Come with me.
You were saying to put this above Love and Thunder,
correct,
below Shang-Chi.
Yeah. Sure.
I would put this.
He's not going to do what we want him to do, Nick.
I'm just thinking about enjoyment factor.
What's the pure enjoyment factor, Andy?
Think about how much you didn't enjoy Love and Thunder.
I would put this below Iron Man.
Number 16.
Yes.
I would put this above Shang-Chi.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
Nick
that
and
means
I get our way. Nick and I get our way.
Nick and you get your way. It's the new number 14.
So
underneath
cool.
Shang-Chi and above Thor, Love, and Thunder. Well, there you go. Pretty good.
I love how the plan comes together.
Pretty mm-hmm, good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Where are
we? I can't wait to rewatch the Ant-Man movies, because good Lord, it's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
I don't remember the lady from Ghost.
Can you guys think about this for a second?
I love thinking.
When are we going to rewatch Ant-Man?
I don't know.
In just a couple months.
Yeah.
Can you believe that Ant-Man 3 is coming out
Quantum
in
Man's
like
coming out,
4
right?
months? Oh. We're so close.
I mean, can you believe we're a month away from Wakanda Forever?
No, we're not. We're 2 weeks away, Greg.
You fucking stupid.
You just don't get it. They don't get it. Dude.
Can you believe we're 2 weeks away from Wakanda Forever? I do sound smarter in this mic.
Right? I'm just blown away. Like I was talking to Barrett earlier. We're looking at the calendar. I'm like, Wakanda Forever's coming out in 2 weeks?
Okay, I'll be honest with you, Tim. I'm blown away by the 2 weeks thing. 4 months for Ant-Man, that's a long time away. Like,
yeah,
I thought you were
going to
be like, Andy, can you believe we are 90 days out from Quantumania?
I'm just so blown away that we are 4 months away from seeing Kang in action. Like, that seems like we're about to kick off some, like,
he's
shit.
Gonna look, he's going to look so ripped, dude. He's going to look so ripped.
Oh, crazy times. So everybody out there knows. What, Greg?
I just got an email that I'm not at liberty to discuss on air. And it's only you'll find this is hilarious.
Wow.
Right? That's fucking stupid. I'm so cool. You guys are I understand why you guys want to hang out with me all the time. You know what I mean?
You radiate coolness. Yeah, exactly. We pick some of it up like a rainbow.
Little update for everybody about In Review. Obviously, we're trying to get everything figured out with the studio, so the schedule is going to be just a little wonky for the next couple weeks as we catch up on some things and keep going. But we are going to be doing a second In Review for Patreon people this week. It'll go up live Monday for everyone else, and that is what, Greg?
Black Adam, ladies and gentlemen, I can't stress this enough. If you have a storm cellar, go into it, because the hierarchy of power in the DCEU is about to change forever.
Exactly. Exactly. So that'll be this Friday for Patreon people, Monday for everyone else. And then next week, we're going to be doing Halloween Ends. Halloween Ends came out last week. We haven't been able to watch it yet, but we will be watching it next week and reviewing it and adding it to the Halloween in review franchise. And I think that'll drop for everyone else publicly. When, Greg?
Monday?
Halloween.
Oh, sorry, I was not paying attention.
It's all good.
Andy, give me the Halloween theme right now.
Oh my God, we didn't even talk about the fucking recreation of the Incredible Hulk TV show.
Oh, that was awesome.
Intro in the finale.
Oh, that was great.
She-Hulk.
That was great.
So good.
Have a marvelous day, everybody.
Have a marvelous day.
It didn't sound like Halloween.
I think it was Haiku in Review.
Hey. It's done. Go home. What are you doing? It's over.